the Black Robe Regiment. Below is a quote from the history of the Black Robe Regiment. The Black Robe Regiment was the name that the British placed on the courageous and patriotic American clergy during the founding era, a backhanded reference to the black robes they wore. Significantly, the British blamed the Black Robe Regiment for American independence, and rightfully so, for modern historians have documented that. There is not a right asserted in the Declaration of Independence which had not been discussed by the New England clergy before 1763. The Black Robe Regiment, pulpit leaders in 1776, fought side by side with believers and non-believers in our war for independence. The point of this message is to encourage us pulpit leaders to glorify our Abba Father in all that we do, including our civics war. Our one nation under God today is more subjugated than it was in 1776, and it will be lost again if the body of Christ does not unite to redeem it for posterity. But most pulpit leaders are lukewarm, taking a neutral position amid extreme depravity. It was the lukewarm church that our Abba Father spit out. We are not building a group for pulpit leaders to join, start glorifying our Abba Father and our civics. Plant and inspire the seed to grow if you are a congregation member. The Black Robe Leaders. The Black Robe Leaders were men of great success in both church and state. Our Abba Father weeps today over our pastor's lack of courage to save our one nation under God. Please pray on that and embrace our godly civics. Real Pastor Men. John P. Muhlenberg, Revolutionary War General. Frederick A. Muhlenberg, First Speaker of the House. Abel Foster, New Hampshire and U.S. Congressman. Benjamin Conti, Revolutionary War Officer, Congressman. John Witherspoon, President of Princeton. Abraham Baldwin, Senator, President of University of Georgia. Payne Wingate, Senator and Congressman. Joseph Montgomery, Judge, Congressman. James Manning, President of Brown University. John J. Zubley, Continental Congressman. Reverend John Peter Muhlenberg. Perhaps the most effective pastor/warrior was Reverend John Peter Muhlenberg, who preached Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. He finished the sermon with, "In the language of the Holy Writ, there is a time for all things. There is a time to preach and a time to fight. And now is the time to fight." When he finished preaching on January 21, 1776, John Muhlenberg took off his black robe and revealed the uniform of a colonel in Washington's army. Drums began to roll. Men kissed their wives, and they walked down the aisle to enlist. The next day, Pastor Muhlenberg led 300 men from his ecclesia and surrounding ecclesia to join General Washington's Continental Army as the 8th Virginia Regiment. Muhlenberg continued to preach and became a trusted general in the Continental Army. Patrick Henry. The most famous call in 1775 that led to our DOI is Patrick Henry's famous speech. Where was it given? St. John's Episcopal Church. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat it, sir, let it come. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. On the right to rebel against governors. Pastor Samuel West, in 1776, made the case for rebelling against the government driven by the Holy Bible God, but for all of our society. Our revolution was for everyone with one caveat. If not a believer, some sense of morality is still required for a thriving society. We, the people, must fundamentally want to do the right thing. Love your neighbor as yourself is from the Holy Bible, but it is still wisdom for all. No other source exists for, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another, except the Holy Bible. Without that, there is no USA. Our war today is not God against no God. It is morality and liberty against tyranny and depravity. We are printing the beginning of Pastor West's sermon here, and you can finish it at Teaching American History, click. That site is amazing and sorely needed. Pastor Samuel West's sermon. The great Creator, having designed the human race for society, has made us dependent on one another for happiness. He has so constituted us that it becomes both our duty and interest to seek the public good, and that we may be the more firmly engaged to promote each other's welfare, the deity has endowed us with tender and social affections, with generous and benevolent principles. Hence the pain that we feel in seeing an object of distress. Hence the satisfaction that arises in relieving the afflictions, and the superior pleasure which we experience in communicating happiness to the miserable. The deity has also invested us with moral powers and faculties, by which we are enabled to discern the difference between right and wrong, truth and falsehood, good and evil, hence the approbation of mind that arises upon doing a good action, and the remorse of conscience which we experience when we counteract the moral sense and do that which is evil. This proves that, in what is commonly called a state of nature, we are the subjects of the divine law and government, that the Deity is our supreme magistrate, who has written his law in our hearts, and will reward or punish us according as we obey or disobey his commands. Had the human race uniformly persevered in a state of moral rectitude, there would have been little or no need of any other law besides that which is written in the heart, for every one in such a state would be a law unto himself. There could be no occasion for enacting or enforcing of penal laws, for such are not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to moral rectitude and the happiness of mankind. The necessity of forming ourselves into politic bodies, and granting to our rulers a power to enact laws for the public safety, and to enforce them by proper penalties, arises from our being in a fallen and degenerate state.